Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. If you are not satisfied with your sex life, if it is less than fulfilling to you, or if you don't have a sex life at all and you wish you had one, then tonight's broadcast is for you, because God has a great plan for sex and how it works with the love and the confines that He has put it in. And when we use sex in the way that God wants us to use sex, to express love to one another, in a way that is beyond anything else we could do to express that to them, then God will bless that and He will give you joy unending in your sex life as well. But many people write me each week, and number two on their list, number one are struggles with their faith, but number two on their list of issues that they're struggling with are issues related to their sex life. They're struggling with pornography, or they're struggling with less than fulfilling sex life with their spouse, or they're wondering whether they ever will have a sex life. And when I pray with them, when I talk with them, and when I read God's word to them and tell them what God's plan is for them, I'm able to watch from letter to letter to letter and see how their life is changing. And I have prayed with people in person and seen them go from not having sex with their spouse for 7 years to having what they've called the most incredible sex they've ever had and producing children as well. And none of it is from any of man's work, but it all comes from following God's wisdom and God's way and God's anointing on your life to use sex in the way that God has created it. So I'm going to share some of those things with you tonight of how God can do that in your life as well. And if you're single and just looking forward to the opportunity one day, I hope these ideas will give you some encouragement as well, that there is hope for you, because we have also prayed with many single people who we've been able to be part of their weddings and see them have children and just watch this whole thing play out in front of our eyes. And so I have great hope and great encouragement that God can do these things in your life as well. Tonight we also have a special musical guest. Kent Sanders is with us, and he's going to play a song right now. As he does, I want you to take a look at your message notes on the screen. There are a few passages of scripture there that I just want you to read, and as you read those, I just want you to focus on God and let God speak to your heart. As you read those, and when you're done reading those, just sit and enjoy Kent's music and let God minister to you through the music as well. So take a look. It's just marked message notes on your screen. If you click on that, you'll be able to pull those up and continue to watch the broadcast as well. Kent is a pastor, he's a worship leader, he's a songwriter, and we've been able to meet him in this past year, and it's a joy to have him tonight with us. Kent, if you would sing for us and minister to our hearts.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold. From within and make me holy, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin.
Let me pray with you as well. Lord, I thank you for this time just to come and in a very personal and intimate way share about how you have created sex to be one of the most pleasurable experiences we can have on this earth. And God, I do pray that it would cause us to be holy and pure before you. I pray that as a result of this message today, that you would draw people closer to each other and closer to you, and that they would experience you in a way they've never experienced before. And I just pray that you would make this a fruitful time for all of us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Len and I just celebrated our 10-year anniversary this past week, and to me, it has been an incredible 10 years. The day we got married, some people say that the day that you get married is the best day of your life, but I don't believe that's true because that would mean it's downhill from there on out. And it's not. The day we got married was the best day up to that point, but then it's only gotten better and better since then over the last 10 years. And that includes our sexual life as well. I've heard that Ross Perot, when he was running for president, he had said, you know, if you want to know about how to manage money, you need to ask someone who has a lot of it. And Ross Perot had a lot of it. And so it sort of makes sense why so many people come to me and Lana and ask, you know, how can we have a more fulfilled sexual life? And we have a great, fulfilling sexual life. And to me, it's off the charts. There is nothing literally in this world that gives me a greater pleasure, a greater joy, more ecstasy, more engaging of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. Every aspect of my life is embodied in that sexual experience with my wife. And I know that some of you have other things that top your charts, but for me, that is the one that is an expression of love like I've never experienced before in my life, and I'm very thankful for it. It's definitely a blessing from God. But I can also tell you that it hasn't always been that way. And even though it's that way with my wife and for the past 10 years, there was a time prior to my marriage and prior to my committing my life to Christ where I was involved in some things that weren't pleasing to myself, nor to God, nor to those around me. And I had been involved in homosexuality for several years. And during that time, I had some pleasurable moments where it was a joy to be sexually with someone else, but it was very short-lived. It was not satisfying in the long-term sense. It was definitely something where I was on the receiving end, and I wasn't as giving as I should have been. I wasn't committed in a relationship that would bond and last forever. And there were definitely those times where I would wake up the next morning and just feel dirty. I just felt bad, and it would keep me even from doing things like that again in the next few weeks and months to come, because it was such an unclean feeling, because I knew that what I was doing wasn't right, because it wasn't the way God had defined it and the way God had ordered it. So to say that these past 10 years with my wife are incredible and off the charts, I just wanted to compare and contrast that to what it is without that, because I do know what that's like, and I know that there are things that you're going through that are different than what I've gone through, and yet you also may struggle with sexual issues in your life. So I want to share a few of those things that have happened to me over the last 10 or 12 years. What changed, people ask me? What changed in my life, and what was it that caused me to be able to have this kind of experience now in my life? And it happened 12 years ago where Christ came into my life, and I invited him in, and he told me that he had a plan for my life, my whole life, and that included my sexual life as well. And when he took over, everything in my life changed. And I can say for the better. I thought it was going pretty good up to that point, but when I found Christ and when he took over, everything went in a whole new direction. It was so much better than anything I could have ever experienced before. So I want to share some of that with you, as well as two things that have definitely contributed to mine and Lana's sexual intimacy being what it is today. And before I say those, though, I just want to mention more than mention, but emphasize what God says is the trouble with sex. As I was preparing this message, and again, I've talked to so many people over the years related to sex, and sometimes I'm amazed, always I'm amazed at how many people this affects. very close friends of ours will reveal at times that their sexual life is very not what you expect from a Christian family. Pastors several times have come to me and shared that their sexual lives are certainly not what you would expect from a pastor. And so I think you'd be amazed at the number of people around you, and even you listening, you know what it's like and you know what I'm talking about, so I'm not telling you anything new, but this affects a lot of people. And so I came to God this week and I said, God, what is the trouble with sex? From your perspective, why is this causing so much problem in people's lives? And I sensed that God said, the trouble with sex is that people use it to get what they want rather than to give what I want. The trouble with sex is that people use it to get what they want rather than to give what I want. Meaning, God wants to give love and an expression of love through the act of sex to someone else, and he's unable to do that when we're focused on getting what we want out of it. And I'll give you a few stories later about how that plays out in different people's lives. But let me tell you the two things in mine and Lana's life that have really affected us. One was, as we were talking this week, Lana and I, about this message, Lana said that that word from God was so right on for her. Because as a young girl, she made a commitment that she would always make herself available to her husband sexually. That she never wanted to turn her husband down sexually, and that she was going to be there and be available for him whenever he was interested in that. And for a young girl to make that kind of commitment, I think is astounding. And also the result of that has been astounding. And as she made that commitment, and even though that has at times caused her just some difficulty or some uncomfortableness at times, it has never caused her to be abused or neglected or run over in any way. And let me tell you why. Because when your wife comes to you and says, I want to be available to you at any time that you want sexually, this is what it did for me. It said, wow, if she's willing to do that at any time, then I don't need sex at any time, because I know I could have it at any time. And so it freed me to love her in a way that I never might have loved her before, because I was able to love her with an unconditional love, and she was able to love me without strings attached, without trying to get something out of it. But I was able to respect her, and that was the one thing, was her commitment as a young girl to do that. And that comes right out of Ephesians 5:25. And I don't know, Lana's doing the camera back there, I don't know that she was even aware of Ephesians 5 back at that time, but she just knew that that was an important thing. But Ephesians 5:25 talks about this. It says, I'm looking at it, it's the wrong verse. We'll cut that out. 1 Corinthians 7. I skipped over one verse. I got it. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. It says, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So in that passage, it just says that our bodies are not our own. When we get married, our bodies, we become one with our spouse, and our bodies belong to each other, and we're not to deprive each other of that sexual relationship. And as Lana made that commitment, it allowed me to do what husbands are to do, and that's in the Ephesians 5:25 verse. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We are to love our wives just like Christ loved us. And what did Christ do to demonstrate his love for us? He died for us. He gave himself up for us. And that's what, the way we are to love our wives. So for me to come to Lana in a sexual way, in anything that would abuse her or neglect her or demean her, would not be the way Christ has loved us. In fact, I should be willing to give up my life for her. I should be willing to die for her. And if I'm willing to die for her, then certainly I should live for her as well. Meaning, I should do those things that bring pleasure to her and please her, and not take advantage of them. On my part, when we got married, I said in my wedding vows, I said, Lana, you are a gift from God, and I plan to treat you as a gift. Because I knew where I had come from, and that what I deserved for some of the things that I had done. The Bible says the penalty for homosexuality is death. But God didn't give me death. When I accepted Christ into my life, He forgave me, and He not only forgave me and forgave me of those sins, He didn't give me the death penalty, but He gave me life and life abundant. That's a transforming power of God, and that's the life that He offers to every one of us. So I was very aware that the fact that I even got married after all of that was just a gift from God. And to be married to Lana, who to me is the joy of my life, and there's never been anyone before or since that has brought me such pleasure as her, it just makes me know how precious a gift she is to me. And so my commitment to love her in that way and to treat her as a gift has also, I believe, contributed to this two-way giving of one another to each other and bringing together the sexual relationship the way that God intends. Now, on the other hand, I have encountered many people who have done the exact opposite. And they have treated their spouse, or they've treated boyfriends or girlfriends, in ways that were getting rather than giving, in ways that were solely motivated by the idea of getting some sort of pleasure out of that sexual relationship. And this is where it comes to our place in the plan. God has an overall plan for us. He says what the trouble with sex is, and the trouble from His perspective is that we're often trying to get things out of it rather than to give in our sexual experience. And His plan is that we're supposed to give ourselves to one another. And so this is what happened in some of these people's lives when they neglected to give to their spouse. One man I talked with several years ago and really prayed with and tried to work with, he said, well, Eric, you know, I hear everything that you're saying, and I gave marriage a try. That was his answer. He said, I gave marriage a try, and I tried to rack my brain. We were sitting there at a coffee house and sitting over a cup of coffee, and I was just trying to think, you know, what else could it be? You know, he's married, but he just doesn't find his wife that attractive or interesting, or, you know, there's something, I can't figure out what it is, and I'm trying to go through all the things in my brain of, you know, maybe he's struggling with pornography or masturbation or something. And then he tells me that 1 month after he got married, he had an affair with another man. And he hadn't told his wife that. It had been a year or two later at this point. And then he'd had another relationship with another man since that time. And he was telling me that he never told his wife about these things. And he's never expressed this to her. He's never told her about any of these desires or these other issues. And he says he gave marriage a try. He, in my mind, never gave it a shot at all. He never gave it a chance. After 1 month of marriage, he'd already committed adultery. He'd already committed homosexuality. He'd already lied to his wife. He'd committed 3 of the top 10 commandments. He had broken them within that first month of marriage. The man had slept with the wife before their marriage, and he had already lost her trust by doing that. Because if she knew that he was willing to sleep with someone outside of marriage, how could he possibly remain faithful within the bounds of marriage? And he wasn't. And eventually this couple divorced, and the man went into a full-time homosexual lifestyle. He was interested in sex for what he could get out of it. Now, I'm not downplaying the very real feelings that he had and the very real struggle and some of the abuse issues of his life and some of the issues that he'd had in his life. But he also had never given his life to Christ. And in my estimation, he had never given marriage a try. He'd never committed his life to his wife in a way like Christ did for the church. He wasn't willing to die for her. He wasn't willing to live for her. And he left her. And she is now following a path of destruction just like he is. Here's a second story of a man. This was a couple we prayed with a few years ago as well. Now, these were Christians, and they had been married for several years. They had one child. And they came to me and they said, we would like to have another child. And we hear that when you pray for people, sometimes they are able to conceive and have children, and we'd like that as well. And they came to me in Atlanta, and so we began to pray for them and pray for healing on anything in their bodies that weren't able to produce a child. And we went into all this, and we were just perplexed as to what might be the trouble, and we were asking God, you know, God, what is it? And it turned out in my private conversations with him afterwards that they had not made love in 7 years. Here, they had come to me to pray that they would have a child, and here, as a Christian couple, having been married for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, in the past 7 years, they had not made love once. It turned out he was going to some prostitutes during that whole time. They weren't talking about it. It was a terrible time in their home life and in their relationship. And we started praying through some of those issues and some of the issues that drove him into that and some of the issues that had really been hard for him. And again, I'm not denying his feelings, but let me say that when he saw what God's plan was for marriage, and when he heard about all this, and when he received that infilling of the Holy Spirit that enabled him to do what he wanted to do with his wife and what his wife wanted him to do, he came back and reported to us. He said, "Eric, we have had the most incredible sex that we have ever had in our lives." He said, "It is everything. It's like the fireworks exploding, all of that, everything that you imagine in an exciting, extravagant sexual relationship. That is what we have finally had." And they had a baby as a result of that as well. And unfortunately, I have to say that he wasn't able to break the habit of that going to prostitutes. And he continued to go back after that. Some of the pain and rejection in his life was just too much. He wasn't able to stand up in his faith and continue in that relationship with his wife. For whatever reasons, he reverted back. And I just want to warn you as that issue as well, that you can get to that point where you do achieve what God has called you to achieve, but then for whatever reason you begin to lose that grip and break that. And I believe it's a combination of things, but one of the things that we have to do as a Christian is to come back to God again and again and just say, "God, tell me one more time, fill me one more time, help me one more time." And God invariably helps you. He is so eager for these things to happen because you know what? He loves the wife of that man even more than that man loves the wife. And he wants her to have a pleasurable life. He wants her to be taken care of. He wants her to be treated well. He doesn't want that kind of stuff going on. And if you sincerely come to God and say, "God, help me," God will show a way. Now, I know many of you may have prayed for years and you continue to have struggles. I had a man that wrote to me, in fact, he was a pastor, wrote to me a few months ago on the internet, and he had prayed for 5 years. He's been dealing with an issue in his life and having a difficult time in his sexual relationship with his wife. And one of the issues for him was he had never talked to anyone about that issue. He had never confessed it to anyone. He was involved in pornography, and he was seeing all these attractive things on the internet, it turned out. And he was seeing things that his wife could never measure up to those expectations. And so he was continually unfulfilled in talking to his wife, looking at his wife. And he was struggling with so much of this, and he'd never told her about the pornography. He'd never told anyone else in his life. But he found our website. He was from another country, and he found our website and heard my story. And sometimes I'm extremely vulnerable in what I say, and tonight is one of those messages where it's very vulnerable. And yet it allows people to open up and to confess their sins one to another, like it says in James, so that they may be healed. And this man confessed to me his struggle with pornography. He confessed to me his issues with his wife. And over the past 3 months, we've been able to work on those issues and be able to let God really speak to him. And really, by that first step of just confessing it to some other person, as the Bible calls us to, that open confession to one other person can bring light into a situation that's been dark and had its grip on you for a long time. Confessing it to your spouse is the second thing that can really make the huge difference. That's where your main accountability is going to come from, your spouse. It's very difficult, I know, and I've walked people through doing that, and spouses' reactions vary widely, and yet as people bring things to light and the couple comes back to Christ, I have seen them draw closer together than they ever have. That's what this man did as well. He went to his wife with that. The third thing that you need to do is just rid yourself of all of the stuff that may be distracting you sexually, whether it's pornography or movies or literature or somebody at the office or an affair or over masturbation, whatever it may be, you need to rid yourself of all that stuff in your life. And that's what this man is doing right now. And it's very difficult as he does that, and he shares with me just how difficult it is to get rid of all that stuff. But until that stuff is gone, we will not be able to enjoy the sexual fulfillment that God has for us with our spouse. Thank the Lord, for whatever reason, Lana or nor myself have ever gotten into pornography, never been into internet pornography, or affairs outside the home, or any attraction in that way whatsoever, as a result of our experiencing some of those things prior to coming to Christ, and some of those things that were, as I described earlier, very against God. We now just see such a value in maintaining our purity before God. It may be as simple as turning off Baywatch for you. I had a man who we prayed with, and he said, wow, you know, all these sexual urges are gone, they're out of my life, and that's great. And he said, but every time I watch Baywatch, boy, those feelings just come right back up again, and what do I do? And well, stop watching Baywatch. That's the answer. So whatever it is for you, there's a three-second rule on whether you're looking too long at something. And if you look for more than 3 seconds and your eyes linger at parts of bodies that you ought not be looking at, then you have crossed the boundary. So that's just a good tip for you to remember. 3 seconds, that's it. And other than that, you know you've gone too far. But these are these three stories of couples who have had different things. The man who said, I gave marriage a try, when he never really did. Maybe you're in that category and you're in a marriage and you're saying it's just not working and it's just not worth it. Well, I'll tell you, it is worth it. And God will honor your marriage if you're willing to honor your marriage. And send me an email. We can talk on the phone. We can get together in person. I would love to talk with you and pray with you and give you hope. Or maybe you want to have children and you're unable to for various reasons. We'd love to pray with you. If you just don't have that strong interest in your wife, I can assure you that God will give you that interest. Another very vulnerable story for me was just with my own wife and just how God called me to marry her. And I said, oh, God, no, you know, that's not what I have in my mind. That's not what I'm planning on. And I said, but God, if that's what you want me to do, you'll have to show me. She hates that part of the story. But I was very attracted to her. I very much liked her. But I didn't have that committed love for a lifetime kind of love in my heart for her. And so I just prayed for 3 months. And I said, God, if this is the woman you want for me, then I just pray that you would show me. And I didn't tell her anything about this. We had dated prior to this and some other things. There had been some past relationship issues in it. But I came to God and I just said, God, you know, will you show me? If this is the one that you have for me, then you'll have to show me. And within 3 months, God so much put a love in my heart for her like I've never known for anyone else in my life. And at the end of 3 months, she called and said, you know, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with my life next. And I told her, well, I have an idea. And we were married soon after that. And God can put a love in your heart that is off the charts, that is exciting, that is astounding. And he will do it. I have much confidence because I've lived it. And I've watched other people live through it as well. I hope this is giving you some kind of hope. I hope that you are able to see how important this is and how important it is not only for you and your sexual fulfillment, but for your spouse or for your future spouse, that God so much wants to express his love and he wants to do it through you. God's eager to give his life for us, and I want to call you to be willing to give up things that you may be hanging on to so that you need to exchange so that you can have a pure and holy and wonderful sex life with your partner. If you're interested in committing to that right now, I'm going to have Kent come back up and play a song that we can just make as a commitment. And I'll just pray with you after he finishes playing. But I want you at this moment just to come before God and just say, God, what do you want me to know out of the things that I've heard today? What do you want me to do as a result of this? How can I commit my life more to you? What can I do next to bring my sex life to that point where I want it, where my spouse wants it, where you want it, God? And just let God speak to your heart. And then come back with me. We're going to pray and just wrap up with a short prayer and also just let you know that Christ loves you, willing to die for you. Maybe you're all alone and you're watching this and you wonder if there's ever going to be anybody that's willing to give their life for you. I want you to join me right after this song, and I'm just going to share with you that there is someone like that. Kent, if you would just sing and just lead us in just a ministry time, and maybe as you're done singing, if you would say a short prayer as well, that'd be great.
Pray for each person that is out there listening tonight, and also pray for those of us in this room who are just astounded by the way that you forgive us, the way that you call us back even after mistakes and after times where we have knowingly walked away from your will and your plan for our lives. Father, I thank you for Eric and for the message that he has brought tonight, and I just pray for the hearts of every person listening and watching. Pray that you would soften our hearts and make us vulnerable and make us want to follow your plan for our lives. God, I pray you would help us to take any action steps that we need to take and to follow through on any commitment and on any conviction that you've laid on our heart tonight. But God, we thank you for your word and especially for Jesus Christ, who gives us a model that we can follow. We thank you for the strength and for the just the way that you fill our lives and that you continually give us everything that we need, the wisdom, the strength, and the power to be like Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.
As Kent said, God's love is so incredible. And I know some of you are very brokenhearted. And I know you've been through some very terrible things in your life because you've shared a lot of those with me. I've heard your stories. I've heard stories like yours, and I'm sure yours has its own twists and turns that would make my hair curl, because there is so much wickedness out there, and I assure you that it is Satan who causes the wickedness, and it is our own fallen nature through sin that causes some of that destruction to continue to compound. And if you're out there and you're just brokenhearted and you just need a touch from the Lord, I just pray that God would minister to you at that point of need. Because you may be saying, I have tried all those things, and I am still at a loss. I can assure you, God will be there for you. He has not forgotten you, even though it may look like it at times. God will continue to be with you. He will continue to love you. He will continue to forgive you. As Jesus said, he forgives 70 times 7, which means an infinite number. He is willing to be there for you and to help you through it. If you are saying, there's nobody who's ever been willing to lay down their life for me. I've never met anyone like that. Then you're very much like I was 12 years ago. I'd never met anyone who was willing to do that kind of thing for me. Even if some of the good friends I had or different relationships, no one was willing to give up their life for me. And when I heard that Jesus Christ had died for me and died in my place so that I could live, I just felt a love in my heart like I'd never known. And I said, wow, if he was willing to give his life for me, I am willing to give my life for him and follow him forever. It says in the Bible, John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus has done for each one of us. If you need forgiveness for your sins, things that you've done wrong in your life, we can do that right now and just say, Lord, I am sorry for what I've done. If you want to pray with me right now, you know what's on your heart. Just say the prayer right after me and just say, Lord, I am sorry for what I've done. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, wash away those sins and make me whiter than snow. I want to follow you, Lord, with my whole heart. I want to live my life for you from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. God will honor that prayer like you'll never believe. And your day tomorrow may be different than it ever has been in your life. If you would like to chat with someone after this broadcast, during the live broadcast, we will be able to chat with you at the chat room at the ranch. I'm going to turn off the cameras in a minute and just go back, and we'll be able to chat with you and pray through some things with you personally. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do that just by sending a note to pokey@theranch.org. Or if you want to find me during the week on ICQ, that's a software program that you can download for free, also from our pages on the Talk to Someone page. And you can find me from time to time throughout the week. And if you're struggling with some particular issue and just want to chat personally, one-on-one, confidentially, I'd be glad to do that as well. And we just want you to know that we are here for you as God's extension of his hands here on the earth. And we want you to take advantage of that to the extent that you can. God has a great plan for your entire life, not just part of it, not just the hidden parts, not just the exposed parts, every part of it. And every part we give to him, he will give us much more in return. Isn't that right, Ken? Mm-hmm. Lana? So I just pray that God would bless you abundantly. If you need more encouragement in your faith, I ask that you join me again next week when we broadcast another message live from the ranch. Thanks, Kent, for being with us.
Thank you.
And we hope you'll come back again sometime. We very much enjoyed it. Good night.